Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles, which isn't currently raining for the first time in a week, on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. And Joy Taylor is joining me on a Friday. Joy, I don't know if you've heard, there's been 8 playoff games. We've picked all of them right so far.
I heard through the grapevine that was the case. Good morning.
Good morning. We'll pick the next 2 in 1 hour from now. We will break down the games. It's a very exciting time. Joy and I, very exciting. She grew up in a football family. I played it poorly. And here we are. We are on the precipice on the day before the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship. So Robert Kraft is one of the great owners all time in the NFL. And he was talking about Tom Brady. And Robert Kraft came out. And I'll just play, you know, the tape for you from the great Robert Kraft. Here you go.
Definitely the greatest. The greatest player of all time, not just quarterback, in my opinion, because he's such a leader in the locker room. And for someone double the age of some of the players to be able to lead like that and connect like that, and at the same time, so pleasant to be around, it's, you know, I'm really the luckiest guy in the world.
I'm not really an arguer. I'm not into the greatest arguments much. I think he is the greatest player of all time. The word I like is impactful. And because you could argue about the greatest in any industry, the greatest stockbroker, the greatest lawyer, the greatest doctor, the greatest teacher. That's hard to quantify. It's just you and I can go back. Impactful isn't just about you, it's about your entire industry and about others. That's hard to argue. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a little boy or a little girl, and you're 8 years old, and your parents get divorced. And your life's in chaos. Dad's gone. You're 8. Say you're a little boy. And then your mom a year later remarries, and he's your little league coach. And he's into camping and fishing. He teaches you how to do that. And he makes decent money. So over the course of time, he takes you on really interesting, fascinating vacations. Whether he's the greatest dad of all time, who knows? But the impact he had on your life from chaos and divorce to stability, support, and learning and growing, you can't argue that. I've said this about NBA stars. Michael Jordan was a great player, but he also was the only player, the first player to make the NBA global. Michael Jordan was great and had major impact. Magic and Bird were obviously great players, but they, if not saved, revived a mostly dead NBA. They were impactful. LeBron James changed free agency. You're now thought of as weak if you don't go to a better team. That's impactful. Steph Curry revolutionized the game and mostly eliminated back to the basket centers. Those are all great players. They're impactful. Kobe Bryant's great. He's not that impactful. Lakers were good before him, during him, and will be great after him. The NBA was fine before him, during, and after him. Kobe's great. Kobe's amazing. He's like the closest thing to Jordan, but not quite Jordan we've ever seen. Magic, Bird, LeBron, Steph, MJ, they were impactful. That's where Brady separates from the Dan Marinos and the John Elways and the Peyton Mannings and the Brett Favres. Forget the fact that he holds so many playoff records, and in most instances, he has double and triple the numbers of playoff games played, started, wins, passes thrown, passes completed, passing yards, passing touchdowns. In many instances, he almost doubles Peyton Manning. That's not the impact. The impact is quarterbacks now eat differently. and sleep differently and consume alcohol differently during the season because of Tom Brady. Tom Brady has changed, in terms of impactful, the way we view age. If Aaron Rodgers retired today at 35, his career would be a disappointment because Brady has now made 40 the new standard. Before Tom Brady, if a quarterback, even a good one, retired at 35 and 36, that was a long and healthy career. If Aaron Rodgers retired tomorrow, he got to 35, he's changed how we view the longevity of the position. By the way, now, he takes pay cuts, has for a decade. You're seen as greedy, not into winning. Drew Brees took big money, watched Brady, scaled back. Tom has set the standard via agents with veteran quarterbacks. You take pay cuts, or you really, really aren't into the team thing. Tom Brady has also altered the meaning of success. It used to be if you got to a Super Bowl, there was an argument for a Hall of Famer. Two was surpassing any reasonable standard. Tom's now been to eight. Tom shrinks Peyton Manning's career. Makes Favre look really, really good, but not that level. He's doubled Montana. Forget the stats and the rings. His body, his diet, how he's reshaped his contract, how he doesn't drink during the season. Greatest quarterback, you can argue it all day. Obviously, I think so. Impactful? Nobody's even close. Let me shift to the Rams-Saints game. Speaking of impactful, I think we've all watched the recent NFL hirings. Joy and I have reported those. Those are a direct correlation to Sean McVay. The jokes now, even Wade Phillips joked this week as the Rams defensive coordinator, he had a friend who had a cup of coffee with McVay and got a job interview. If the Rams win this weekend on several levels, the league will change. Now, people always say the NFL's a copycat business. Everything's a copycat business. I mean, Amazon.com delivered stuff to your door. I can now have every grocery store in my neighborhood and every restaurant deliver food to my door. That's because of Amazon.com. Every business is a copycat business. You know, Facebook was copying MySpace. Now everybody, social networking, all of them are some derivative of Facebook. But the Rams, this is interesting, are the healthiest team of the four left. No injuries. No injuries. If the Rams win this game this weekend, and it's a field goal game either way, I'll have my pick in 45 minutes. Remember the three things the Rams have done to alter the league. They went into free agency big and with guys who are viewed as divas, big. They have lighter practices than every other team. Fewer pad days. Give veterans time off. They also, do you remember this in preseason? Refused as an organization to play any other top players A play. We already know that owners want to get the next Sean McVay, and we've seen that with the eight coaching openings. It appears seven are going to try to duplicate Sean McVay. But I read a story last night. Todd Gurley practiced all week, totally healthy, skipped three games. The Rams win this weekend. Watch next year's preseason. Stars will not take a snap. They won't. The top stars in the league, the Rams have set a precedent. Increasingly, watch NFL practices get lighter and lighter because the Rams, if they win this weekend, have a full complement of players. Their injury report, I kid you not, there's nobody listed. That's unheard of in the NFL. And most impressive for the LA Rams, skip preseason, lighter practices. They went huge into free agency. And with Ndamukong Suh and Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, guys that aren't always easy to get along with. So I think if you're talking about tipping points, a Rams win this weekend, changes the way a lot of owners and a lot of GMs think. Free agency will be bigger. Practices will get lighter. The preseason will become completely irrelevant. Star running backs will take half a month to a month off. They just said, Todd Gurley, you're not playing. 3 weeks. Don't take a carry. And it's paid off. This week, completely healthy. So I think impact this weekend, keep your eye on the Rams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So yesterday, Robert Kraft comes out and said, you know, Brady's just, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And, you know, it's obvious, right? But there is hesitation. You drive into work this morning, I'm listening to radio, and there's, whoa, slow down. What about Jim Brown? What about Jerry Rice? And so if you deconstruct the criticisms or the questions about Brady, not the greatest arm, not the greatest athlete, plays in the system, the weak AFC East. Let's deconstruct them. And all of them are fairly obvious. He doesn't have the greatest arm. Cam Newton, Jay Cutler, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, and Stafford have the best arms in the NFL. All including Rodgers have frankly underachieved. Aaron has two. Arm is a 1988 argument. It's just not that valuable. Tom Brady's arm is simply good enough. It's a good enough arm. Average to slightly above average. Dumb argument. Well, he's not a great athlete. Well, he was drafted by a Major League Baseball team at a high school. Peyton Manning wasn't. Joe Montana wasn't. Dan Marino wasn't. Dan Fouts wasn't. Terry Bradshaw wasn't. Troy Aikman wasn't. His athletic ability, again, is historically fine, not an impediment. Well, he's in a great system. You do get that the greatest offensive system ever created was by Bill Walsh in the 70s. It's called the West Coast Offense. And that's what Joe Montana had, who was the GOAT before Tom Brady got to his 8th Super Bowl. Folks, we're all in systems. Lawyers go to a court. Doctors go to a hospital. We're all in a system. I'm in a broadcasting company with a long history, football-centric. We give lots of strong opinions before our show, after our show, and during our show. I'm also in a system. Nobody's doing it on an island. Those three arguments are very easy to deconstruct. Here's the argument I've never heard made, and I see this all the time, that, you know, the Eastern Conference in the NBA, it's just not very good. Well, one of the reasons it lacks stability was LeBron James, who never gets credit for that, because LeBron, by the way, has left the Eastern Conference to the West, and now most people are seeing what we did for years. At the top, the Eastern Conference is every bit or better than the West. There's five legitimate teams. There's more dysfunction in the West than the East. LeBron created that dysfunction. Nick Saban, you know, the SEC has had a lot of dysfunction. LSU has been dysfunctional. No, LSU, if you take out games against Nick Saban, is probably the second or third best program in the country. Nick Saban makes LSU look dysfunctional. The argument against Brady, arm you can poke holes in, athletic ability, obviously, and systems, just a dumb argument. But so is that his division is weak. So let's first compare two players who are often compared to Brady, Aaron Rodgers and Big Ben. Tom Brady's won his division 16 times in 18 years. Aaron and Ben, less than half. Do you consider the NFC North with a historically dysfunctional Lions and Bears as a great division? Do you consider the NFC North with the historically incompetent Browns and Bengals as great divisions? Here's what's interesting when you consider the AFC East, Jets, Bills, Dolphins. Do you realize that if you take out the games the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins have played against Brady, they're 500 teams. They're not dysfunctional. They're average. If Tom Brady wasn't in that conference and they could play an inferior quarterback, they would all be over 500. That Brady's never given credit for creating the dysfunction. Since Tom Brady arrived 18 years ago, the Dolphins and Jets are 500 teams if you take out the Tom Brady games. And even Buffalo, who's considered basically Cleveland with worse weather is not close to that. They win 45% of their games, which means over 18 years, they go from 8-8 to 7-9, 8-8 to 7-9, 8-8 to 7-9, if you took out Tom Brady. That's not terrible. You know what that's called in the NFL? Average. He's in an average division. So we never, when you talk about greatest, we do this with all the greats. The greats create dysfunction because of the desperation to beat them. The constant firing of coaches in Buffalo and Miami and the Jets. In the Eastern Conference, the constant firing of coaches in Detroit, Indianapolis. Frank Vogel, really that bad? When you start looking at the SEC, Les Miles was winning 11 games a year. Really deserve to be fired? Ed Orgeron's a better choice. Is that we never give the legends credit for creating the dysfunction. We often just say they're facing dysfunction. The Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins are not awful. They're average. Tom's made them look utterly dysfunctional.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, this morning when I got up, I thought they had moved the AFC Championship because the weather forecast was 32 degrees. On Monday, the weather people in Kansas City were saying it was going to be an Arctic blast. So we've had a 50-degree swing in 4 days in Kansas City.
That's what happens.
Well, first of all, the local TV, I used to work in local TV, and these stations spend millions of dollars on radar and technology and a mega Doppler 7000 to get it right. And what they should have is just a dartboard. You might as well pin the tail on the weatherman because they're just making crap up and they don't know anything. And Bill Belichick, by the way, is I love Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, 3 years ago, I dug this up yesterday. This is why I love Bill. Of the many reasons he's the greatest coach ever, this surpasses and eclipses all of them. Here's Belichick a few years ago.
Based on the forecast we've gotten so far this year, you know, none of them been even very close to what the game conditions were. You know, it was 100% chance of rain last week, and the only water I saw was on the Gatorade table. I mean, my experience of going with the forecast 2 days before the game, I mean, I'd bet a lot that they're wrong. You know, we played down in Miami 2 years ago, and there was a 0% chance of rain. Zero. And it rained. So, I mean, I'm just telling you. I'm not saying I could do it better than them. I'm just saying they're wrong a lot. If I did my job the way they do theirs, I mean, I'd be here about a week.
Okay, first of all, Bill, it's the tropics. There's no such thing as 0% chance of rain.
That's what the local weather.
It literally rains every day in Miami, every single day. You can drive out of it.
One of those weather goofballs in Miami said zero chance of rain, and it was, you know, rainforest.
First of all, I don't believe that for 1 second. That is fake news that someone said a 0% chance of rain in Miami. That is a lie. And the point of being a meteorologist is to follow the weather. If the weather changes, then they let you know. That's why you have to check the weather update.
You would think the radar's a little more accurate than, holy crap, 50 degrees.
Why don't we have a graphic of this guy doing the bird box challenge over the
he's a big goofy weather nerd. All right, let me shift to this. So New England does in the NBA, even a great coach with power titles and leverage and hardware, Steve Kerr, is constantly telling you how great Steph is and how great Durant is and how great Klay is and how valuable Draymond is. In the NBA, a players' league, even a coach with power who doesn't need to kiss butt is always telling you how great the players are. The NFL is the opposite. You're constantly suppressing individuality. In the 18 years of the Patriots dynasty, they've had one real crisis this offseason when Gronk and Malcolm Butler and Amendola and Deion Lewis started being individuals, talking about how great they were, and Tom Brady pushed back, and we had a full-fledged crisis. Tom Brady, though, is back to being a good Patriot, saying things like this after winning a game by 30 points.
You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
The key to the NFL is suppressing individuality. The biggest disappointment in the league this year was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Individuality. Aaron Rodgers coachability issues, individuality. Cam Newton, super talent, hard to coach, individuality. The NFL tries to suppress it, and the easiest way to suppress it is to say the world's against us. Us. That's the easiest way. I used to cover Jerry Tarkanian, and Tarko has talked about this, and they had a bunch of great players. He goes, but the way to make the players less about themselves and more about the team is to say the world is against us. And he goes, then stars and bench players join as one. It's all psychology. James Harrison was a Steeler, late in his career played for the Patriots, and he said, oh, it's a real thing in Foxborough.
I was like you. I'm, you know, like, this is phony, everybody against New England, all that, this and, but it's real. Like, I have no problem with this. You know, they really believe that. They feel that. I felt that. I was only there for 6 weeks, and I'm like, yeah, it's New England versus everybody. Everybody hate us. Nobody loves us but New England. And when you buy into that, like he said, you getting those 10 guys that really to buy into that, you go out there and you give everything you got. Like, you really believe that it's New England, it's us versus everybody.
And it's an old Jerry Tarkanian trick. They were favored by 20 and 30. And Tark always felt that if you sold to the players, nobody believes in us, then the star players and the marginal players became a collective. It became one. That was the easiest way to take great teams and make them a unit. Hey, everybody's against us. Star bridges gap with marginal player. You know, Nick Saban. Nick Saban's favored by 20 points in virtually every game. And he is constantly trying to suppress the individuality. Here's Saban.
I'm trying to get our players to listen to me instead of listening to you guys. You know, all that stuff you write about how good we are and all that stuff they hear on ESPN, it's like poison. You know what I mean? It's like taking poison, like rat poison. All right, so I'm asking them, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys about how good you are?
That Brady quote after that game, you all think we suck, is this is what they do. It is the collective. The world's against us.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Rob Parker, the FS1 instigator on a Friday. Rob, it is great to have you in, teaching sports commentary at USC, former sports columnist, Detroit News, Daily News in New York. Rob, I know that the Patriots have been a thorn in your side and your arch nemesis, and here we go this weekend.
That's right, the big game. And you know what, Colin? This is not about Andy Reid. It's not about Patrick Mahomes. It's not about Kansas City hosting its first AFC championship game ever. This is about Independence Day for NFL America. The reign of terror will finally be over. This is what we're all talking about. Kansas City has to do this for every football fan in America outside of New England. We need this to end. The end of Tom Brady, the end of Bill Belichick, the end of cheating scandals. This sordid history, part of history in the NFL, will come to an end. It's all set up, and we can't wait to finally move on where we can have other football teams that play by the rules and can give some variety when it comes to going to the Super Bowl and seeing some new teams there. This is it. I've been calling for it for years, but finally, this is the year where I'm going to be right.
Do you think Kansas City wins in a blowout?
Not a blowout. I want it to be 48-20, but I think it'll be 28-20. I think that Kansas City will finally make it happen. They're the better team. If it wasn't for the Patriots' history, and you were just to strip down the names off and look at the rosters and look at what's been done this year, no one would give the Patriots a chance to win this game. But because of their history and how lucky they've been in games, they're going to get a benefit of the doubt from other people. And I get that. But I still believe the Chiefs are the better team.
Well, they said that about the Chargers last week.
Yeah, and the Chargers didn't show up. Let's just be honest. They didn't show up, but here's the difference. When people talk about the Patriots, their road has it's everybody like gives Tom Brady all the credit, right? Oh, well, they're unbelievable. But since 1990, look at this. Since 1990, 44 of the 56 teams that have gone to the Super Bowl have had the first round bye. So it's not just about Tom Brady and the Patriots. It's the system and the way it's set up. If you only have to win two home games, you know what I mean, to get to the Super Bowl, two games, it's way easier than having to go on the road and having to win three games to get there.
Well, they also have been the number one seed many times because they beat everybody in the regular season.
And here's the other part. It's by far the weakest, the AFC East or least, whatever you want to call it, by far. Since 1990, all the other divisions have had at least three different champions during the same run that the Patriots have had. But they've won 14 out of 15 divisions.
Yeah.
So they've taken advantage of a very weak division. You could try to, you know, talk up the Jets and talk up Buffalo and talk up Miami.
By the way,
they've been dog food. Let's just be honest.
Since 2001, if you take out the games against the Patriots, the Dolphins and Jets have been 500 teams.
But they haven't been. But the Patriots are involved there.
Well, and the Patriots are great.
No, it's not just that. It's that these teams, when you say that, they haven't won anything. These teams, they've lost 14 out of 15 divisions. Come on, Colin. I'm not going to buy those phony numbers. What math are you doing?
Well, I don't know, the kind that you add and divide and subtract. So you like Kansas City to win this weekend. You put a lot of stock on winning the big game. I would argue this game is a big game for Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid's a great coach. I think he's the best coach without a Super Bowl win.
No, he has to. I agree with you, and that's always been the knock.
No, let me ask you this.
But let me give you this number with Brady.
Okay.
In 15 years, he hasn't won a road AFC championship game. They've lost their last three dating back to 2006. So he hasn't won on the road, and history's against Tom Brady in that fashion.
Just let me throw this at you. What if they do win?
I think I'm moving to Mexico. Do they have a job down there on...
Well, if you like soccer, you could be a sports radio host.
I'll be a sports guy down
there.
Me and Chris Broussard will move our radio show to Mexico.
All right. Let's shift so you like Kansas City. Let's go over to the NFC where there's some things we know. New Orleans offensively for the last month, yards per play, they're fourth of the four remaining teams. They've actually become a more of a defensive story in the last month than an offensive story. We also know with the Rams, they were good early, kind of a mess for 2 months in the middle. And now with C.J. Anderson, bizarrely, he may get more carries than Gurley, who had a great week of practice. They become really a run-first, pass-second offense. So that's what we have. Can the Rams overcome the loudest road environment Superdome in the NFL?
I think they can. This is the thing that's strange. Once I make a pick, and originally I picked Kansas City and the Saints in the Super Bowl, once the playoffs started. That was my pick.
Yeah.
And I never change my picks. I don't believe in that, like going with what somebody wins or the hot team or whatever. But after I watched the Rams against Dallas, I just picked the Rams. I thought the Rams were trending down, like you talked about in December. They were 2-2, and they didn't look that great. But watching the Saints lately, I'm not that impressed. I don't feel good. I think that they would have lost had they not gotten that interception late against the Eagles.
Off the Alshon
right.
Jeffrey drop.
I mean, that went through his hands. He catches that ball. They're in business. They probably win that game. And ever since that Dallas game, too, with Drew Brees, the offense isn't what it was. They were steamrolling over people. Don't forget when they won those 9 or 10 games in a row.
They were. No, I think New Orleans, listen, the initial reaction by any fan is to take New Orleans, and I would not be shocked if they won. 3.5 points to me, the half point makes the Rams the better bet for people who are into that. My only concern is this. The Rams are actually, under McVay, 13-3 on the road. They've actually been a great road
team. That's
an
impressive number in the NFL.
It really is, by any standards, including Steelers, Patriots, whatever. Goff is not as efficient on the road. Like Dak Prescott, you know, Drew Brees may not be as great on the road. Matt Ryan may not be as great on the road, or Big Ben. They don't get overwhelmed. There are times Dak looks overwhelmed on the road. There are times Deshaun Watson, a young quarterback, Andrew Luck last week looked overwhelmed on the road. Goff can sometimes get a little over his skis, and dramatically home and away, he's a different quarterback. I do worry about that. Do you like Goff?
I like Goff. I think early on he looked like he was going to some other level, and I think he's come down from that.
Yeah.
You know, where I thought at one point it's off the charts. He didn't look anything like the quarterback we saw with Jeff Fisher.
Right.
You know, and this would be like 2 years now. But what he did last week, I like. And sometimes to win on the road when you have running backs like that is don't turn the ball over, which he didn't do. And also, he ran for the biggest play of the game when they needed that first down.
Good call.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so if he does that with the running, and you know, every once in a while you have to make that throw that you need to win games, I think that's all. He doesn't have to throw for three touchdowns for them to win it with Saints if they're getting the running that they got against Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I said this.
Maybe not 273 yards, but run the football.
The reality is both the Rams and the Patriots were virtually perfect last weekend. And a big component of that is it's easier to be efficient at home. The Patriots and the Rams will not be as efficient on the road. The key is don't turn it over. Don't go man overboard. And if you look at Goff and Brady, they win road games, but they don't win road games when they have turnovers. And that's the undoing. Tom has looked bad before in Denver.
Well, and this is the other thing. This year, let's be honest, Patriots lost 5 games on the road. You ready? All against non-playoff teams. They lost to the Lions.
Jags.
The Jags.
Steelers. Detroit.
Yep. I mean, it was some bad teams that they lost to. So it tells you about that the Patriots can lose.
I don't expect high scoring games this weekend. I don't. I think the Rams, Saints, Chiefs, Patriots will be, you know, the mid-20s. They'll be just good games. And I also think they've seen each other before. So there is an element, the element of surprise is gone. There's no trickery here. These teams know what they do and know what they do well. I will say this, Rams, Chiefs, Super Bowl, Rob.
I like that.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
Well, the best game we saw this year, arguably, Rams-Chiefs.
And people looked at it. Remember when people were saying that what might be a preview to the Super Bowl, so we might actually get that.
He teaches sports commentary at USC. When's your next big class?
I'm going to be back there teaching. I'm going to be like a sports coach for their TV show, sports TV show. And then next semester, I'll teach again.
All right. By the way, I watched the Lakers last night. A big road win.
That was a big win.
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo played well.
Lonzo Ball.
I will give you credit when you play well, but there's also those other nights.
Yeah. Westbrook can't shoot.
It's unbelievable how badly.
In your life and my life, we're NBA fans. Have you ever seen an MVP player 2 years later can't shoot?
And he can't make free throws. I know he made the three to tie the game,
yes,
which was huge.
He's shooting 64%.
But that's crazy.
I've never seen I've seen baseball, you know, you're a Hall of Fame voter. I've seen batters go into prolonged slumps. I've never seen Kobe, Michael, Bird Magic. Westbrook can't shoot.
Not for a guy who was as good as he was. And now
it has to be mental.
It's a mental thing because he's struggling shooting the basketball. He missed a layup last night late in the game.
Two
of them.
Yeah. Rob Parker, good stuff. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Odd Couple with Chris Broussard. Great listen, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mahomes is going to be the MVP and Brady's a legend. And we know, you know, Breeze is a legend. And it's funny because we've marginalized Jared Goff as just a guy. Just a guy. But, you know, it's funny. When it comes to quarterbacks, I look at traits, DNA, work ethic. I'm more into qualities and traits than I am your stats. If I was to say to you, of all these young quarterbacks, Jared Goff will end up being the most decorated, you'd be like, well, what about Mahomes? And what about Baker? And what about... To me, Jared Goff has the most Brady-like qualities. I think we're potentially looking at a Tom Brady. He's a California kid like Brady, 6'4.5" like Brady, truly a pocket passer like Brady, very limited mobility, making him a pocket passer like Brady. He has a revered, quote, genius as a head coach early in his career to latch onto, like Tom Brady. Very coachable, grinder in the offseason, never makes headlines, incredibly low-key personality, and a precision thrower. And I always said when he broke into this league, I said he's somewhere between Brady and Matt Ryan. He has a better arm talent than Matt Ryan, better deep ball thrower than Matt, and he looks like Brady. And it's funny because Mahomes is flashy and Baker's got a big personality. And Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz are the great athletes. And Lamar Jackson is, you know, getting to the playoffs. Goff is being kind of reduced to just a guy this weekend. He's 13-3 on the road the last 2 years. And much like Brady, that we say, well, it's Belichick, it's the division. Goff, of all these young quarterbacks, shares the most similarities to Tom Brady. Size, arm, style, personality, work ethic. And what has made Brady to a large degree is hooking on to a genius early. Who's the young coaching genius? Sean McVay. I think Goff's going to have, and I understand why Lamar and Mahomes and Baker and Wentz and Deshaun, I understand why they're getting the headlines. Much greater highlight players. To me, when I look at Goff, I see a younger Brady. That's what I see. And maybe this, Brady got to a Super Bowl early. Maybe this changes sort of the narrative on Jared Goff. And by the way, Greg Cosell was on yesterday, and he likes Goff too.
I think Goff is very much a programmed player. I think that when their offense works functionally and effectively in all its dimensions, and he drops back and is relatively secure in the pocket, that he throws a beautiful ball. He's an easy thrower. He's a comfortable thrower. He has a good arm. For the most part, he's an accurate thrower. He lost some of his accuracy down the stretch. But when he's a comfortable player within the context of a multi-dimensional offense, he's very pretty to watch. The ball comes out really well.
That's basically talking about Tom Brady. When Tom Brady is comfortable within the structure of New England's offense, Tom Brady is beautiful to watch. When Tom Brady's not comfortable and Tom Brady's getting pressure, he can be very erratic. And Tom Brady's not as much fun to watch. He is Brady and Goff. They have very smart head coaches. When they're comfortable in the pocket, they are beautiful throwers of the football. Cosell just described Brady. And don't forget, Brady in his first couple of years in this league, don't forget this, had a great defense. Goff has a great running game. They relied on great coaching and a great element beyond themselves.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Russell Westbrook is a complete head case. He can't shoot. Russell Westbrook last night was 7 for 30. Lonzo Ball was begging him to shoot, was guarding him. At the end of the game, Luke Walton was yelling, "Foul Westbrook." He was an MVP 2 years ago. He can't shoot. Take away three-pointers last night, he was 2 of 18. And he was overtime. He was afraid to shoot in overtime. Passed up a three and passed up a mid-range jumper. He is a shot fighter mentally. Can he reboot it? I have no idea. But he has gone head case. When I watched the game last night, layups, his range, his shooting range now is dunking, and that's the end of his range. He hit three straight free throws at the end of regulation. So this is a guy that clearly is hard to play with. This is a guy now that can't shoot. Post-surgery, he's not quite as hyper-athletic. And after the game, I mean, again, if you entered this league and you had no history on Russell Westbrook, and this is what he was, and you didn't know anything about Russell Westbrook, you would say, who's the ball hog who can't shoot? He is not an all-star player anymore. That is not even arguable. He's not an all-star in the West. He is not. He would not start at point guard for Golden State. He would not start for Portland. Where would you put him when Chris Paul's healthy on Houston? He's not a starter on many of the elite teams. You're not going to start him over Kyrie Irving. Man, if you can't start on a half dozen teams, you're not an all-star. And last night, now he won't even answer questions. So he's petulant with the media. They asked him about his free throws late.
What were you thinking in that situation, considering your free throw percentage this season? I think 64.2 coming into the season.
Next question.
It's too tough a question.
Well, I mean, you have struggled at the line, but in clutch time, you seem like you're pretty confident. Was your confidence level high?
Next question.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I have never seen an MVP, and I would have never given him the MVP. I think he's a stat hoarder. But I've never seen an MVP literally fall off a cliff. And he's just, you know, he's not in the prime of his career, but he's not very far from it. He was an MVP 2 years ago. He's not an all-star anymore. And now Paul George wasn't great last night, but it is very clear on this basketball team, Paul George is the best player, and Steven Adams is a more reliable player. To show you the worthlessness of the triple-double. He almost had one last night. and he was 7 for 30. I mean, and people say, oh, he hit those free throws late. I'm watching the game sitting there, and nobody in that arena thought he was going to go 3 for 3 with free throws. Nobody in the arena, including Westbrook. You could tell he's taking these deep breaths. So Lonzo Ball outplayed him last night in overtime, and this is all mental. You can tell when it's mental. So he used to shoot 80% free throws, then 75. Now he's at 64. That's not physical. That's just a mental. You know, we've had golfers that get the yips. We've had baseball second baseman that can't throw to first. This is all mental for him. But it is absolutely remarkable to watch. 2 for 18, 7 for 30. 23 missed field goals. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Can't shoot, still took 30 shots.